It was good to hear Gilson welcome all of us here this morning, and individually I'm happy to have with us this morning our young brother. I understand he just came to the Lord lately, and his name is Roger Bridenbaugh, and then we have also Lori Kaufman from Martinsburg, both from near Martinsburg, Pennsylvania, and then, of course, my daughter and my son-in-law, Mr. and Mrs. Eccles, and also Kathy and Jeff, my granddaughter. I love to talk about my granddaughter, my grandchildren, don't you? Well, I don't know of any psalm or any portion of Scripture that would be more suitable to speak upon the first month in January, and especially today is the 23rd Psalm. I trust that none of you have gotten tired of it yet. I have been reading it now for, won't be too many years until it will be 50 years that I've been reading it, and it's just as precious to me this morning as it was the first time I read it, possibly more so. It never dies. Someone has said it is read more by us, and we love it more than any other psalm, and yet it's a psalm that we believe less than any other psalm. Now, maybe we can think that one over for a little bit. But as we read it, I trust that you and I will ask ourselves the question, do we believe it? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you actually ask yourself as we were reading whether you believed these words? Well, it's a wilderness song. Very definitely, I think we can see this. And the one who is singing is proving Jehovah as his shepherd. On and all the way in his journey home. And you will notice that as a pilgrim, he is seen here as having the cross behind him and the glory before him. And that's not all. And the shepherd of the psalm with him. Isn't that beautiful? Are you a pilgrim like that this morning? Is the cross, as it were, behind you? And is the glory before you? And is the shepherd of the psalm with you? Those are three beautiful things. And that's just the way that the psalm is nestled here. Nestled here in our Bible. In Psalm 22, you very definitely see the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. And there he is, as the one who is crying out on the cross, "My God, my God, why art thou forsaking me?" I cry in the night season, I cry in the day, and thou hearest me not. And it's here that he says, "I'm a worm and no man." Why would God forsake him? He is suffering outside the reach of any promise. He's there suffering, and he has no promise whatsoever of deliverance because he was willing to stand in the breach between me, a poor lost sinner, and a holy God. And he's willing and was willing to face God in all of his holiness and righteousness in the place of sin and for sin. And I can go a little further than that. He was actually made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Have you trusted the good shepherd who laid down his life there for the sheep and who stood in this awful breach in a place where there was no promise outside the reach of any promise? He could even say the fathers trusted in thee and were delivered. But I am a worm and no man. If you can tell me what sin is, actually is, I can tell you what Christ has been made on the cross. And he is not only the mercy seat for our sins, but for the whole world. And God would have the whole world reconciled unto him. This is God's desire, that the whole world would be reconciled unto him. He made reconciliation there on the cross, and the potentiality of it was for the whole world. There is no such thing as a limited salvation in the world. And do not think that you are and I are one of the choice ones in this respect, that we had privileges and we were chosen beyond others. Ah, no. God is not willing that any should perish. And there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for us all. I love to preach a gospel, don't you like that? And look into the face of every man, woman, and boy and girl and say it's for you, just as much as it was for David and just as much as it was for the Apostle Paul, just as much as it is for me. And then I love to think of the glory that is before the pilgrim. And I love to hear these words in the 24th Psalm. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And the second time he says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. Don't try to minimize him and his followers. He has a number and a multitude that no man can count. These are his followers that will be with him in the glory. And he is that King of glory. And then the psalmist says, now think of that.
Isn't that good?
Oh, and here's the pilgrim between the cross and the glory. And in the 23rd Psalm, there you have very definitely the great shepherd of the sheep, brought again from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He was on the cross, but he's brought again from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And the apostle in Hebrews would say, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. What a shepherd is that? Can you say that this shepherd is my shepherd? Can you say the good shepherd gave his life on the cross? He's going to come in the glory, but at this very moment in which we are speaking, he's the resurrected one who could say, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Now that's the one who is our shepherd, the great shepherd. And think of David saying, the Lord is my shepherd. No wonder the words follow. I shall not want. Covetousness in the Bible is such a deceitful thing. So deceitful is it that the Apostle Paul would say, I wouldn't even have known I was a covetous man if I would not have recognized it in the law. It's a deceitful thing. And how often one is filled with want. Isn't it good to hear the Apostle Paul say, with food and raiment, be content. And hear the Lord Jesus say, I will never, no, never, never, never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you believe that? I know a lot of people say they're saved in a measure. They are saved for a while. And they do not know that they are eternally saved. They say they have trusted the Lord, but then they say, I must do the best I can. And they put little self in it that's just like a sheep that has the potentiality, and not only the potentiality, but the urge to go astray. You need a shepherd. I'll tell you, some folks like to say that they are an individual testimony, and they will stand alone. Did you ever see a little sheep out in the field all alone? It just seems as though it has to have others with it. It must be gathered in the flock. And lo and behold, it must have one to lead and to guide. And I love to hear David say, the Lord is my shepherd. That word Lord, when it's in small capital letters, it means Jehovah. And what David is thinking about is the one that was, the one that is, now, present, and the one that is to come. The self-existing one. This is what's in David's mind. The one who has life in himself. Can you tell me of anyone, any person who has life in himself? No, it's all derived life. How did you get life in yourself? It had to be derived. You weren't self-sustaining. You weren't self-contained. Ah, no, it's derived life. And Every bit of life from the very smallest insect at the microscope will show up until the mighty angels that are swift and strong and so able to do God's bidding. They have derived life. But this one, we can say, in him was life. Oh, think of this. And this is the one that David says is my shepherd. Well, I almost feel like crying out in the words that are connected with Joseph in the Bible. O shepherd, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, shine forth. Think of it. This is the one Kathy was singing about. And this is the one who David said is my shepherd. And I'm going to say it too. Aren't you? Can you take the possessive pronoun and say, this one is my shepherd, and I shall not want. O brethren, from whence cometh wars among us? Come they not of your own lusts and covetousness, desiring the things that you don't have and the desire of others, and the desire of the things of others? This is the cause of all war. And you know, when I was out in Montana and visited Norm McDonough in his ranch, he said just beyond Wolf Creek there is enough of atomic energy if the button was pressed. Now that was 6-7 years ago. Maybe a little longer. Enough of it, atomic energy there tanked up that if the button was pressed, it would blow up the whole world. And no doubt we are seated on not just only a powder keg, as we used to say, but we're seated, as it were, in the presence of a mighty explosion. And many of our young people, in fact, I hear this one and another one say, if the world is still here after I'm out of college, I'm going to try to enter into this avenue of profession or that. This is the world in which we are living. I don't know how it is just right now. What I'm speaking of took place 6 or 8 years ago that I heard. And it's updated now quite a bit. And I have no doubt there are other countries have the same potentialities as we have. But I love to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I believe without a doubt, this psalm, it very definitely has a historic past. It has a spiritual present. And it has a prophetic future. Now you say, what do you mean by that? Well, I believe it has an historic past in that there was a time in David's experience when he placed personal faith in the good and the great shepherd, the Lord as his shepherd. Do you have a historic past like that? I believe David, in his experience, realized this in a most remarkable way. I can remember, you know, can't you? Oh, I remember when Samuel the prophet was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint one of those seven sons, one out of the seven as king over Israel. And with his horn of oil, you know, he had those sons to pass before him, all seven. And Jehovah says, not this one. I've rejected this one. Not this one. Isn't there another son? And oh, David, where's David? Out on the hillside, caring for wandering sheep. He knew how wandering they were. And don't you think the Lord Jesus that took up your cause knows your down sittings, your uprisings, your thoughts are far off. But in spite of all of your wanderings, all of your failures, He gave His life for you. And now He lives in the glory for you. And He's saying, just as He said in that high priestly prayer, He said, Father, I will that they be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory, the glory that I had with thee before the world was. Hallelujah! What a Savior, and what a Shepherd. And I can see David with those sheep. I can see him, the Father gave him those sheep, just as we were reading in the 17th chapter of John, and he was responsible for those sheep. And out on the hillside, oh, I can see him in the evening when he gathered those sheep in the fold. Some of them, no doubt, would have scratches on the face. Some of them, itchy eyes. Some of them, their heads were torn from the briars and the thorns of the wilderness. But not one entered into that fold but what they came under his rod and his staff. And the psalmist says, they comfort me. And I can see David taking the oil, the olive oil. And if you go even today, you go over to the Holy Land, you'll just see olive trees everywhere. And I can see David taking the oil and placing it, as it were, upon this scratch and this tear. Maybe a drop or two in the itching eyes, and then on the head. And they comfort me. And then he anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I can see him with the water, giving each individual one some cold, cool, refreshing water. And they're safe for the night because he's there. He's guarding his father's sheep. And oh, think of him with this experience. And I love to speak of Christian experience, don't you? And with this experience, he can say, Jehovah is my shepherd. And if I am responsible for my father's sheep, and if I have cared for them in this way, surely, surely, truly, the Lord will not in any way put me in a place where he's not able to secure me and to keep me safe. Well, I want to hurry on a little bit. I started out over the grounds with this psalm, and I met with this one and that one. One brother especially said, now mind, don't you mention my name Sunday morning. Well, I won't mention his name this Sunday morning, but he was a help to me along these lines. And he said to me, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I think no doubt when the psalmist says this, even though I do, he may not have to, but even though I do, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if I have to face danger and death, I will fear no evil. Think for just a moment of Stephen. I suppose that Stephen, through much of his life, never thought that he would have to face death. But when he preached the gospel to his own people, and actually told them of the love of God and how God had nursed them along, and they were a stiff-necked, rebellious people. They steadfastly resisted the Holy Ghost. And when he said that, they rushed upon him with stones. And they actually stoned him to death. Oh, I wouldn't think that Stephen would have thought anything like this. Maybe even while he began to speak. But the Lord saw fit to take him through the valley of the shadow of death. And they stoned Stephen. And Stephen crying out to the one who was in the presence of God. There, saying, "Receive my spirit." And you say, "Oh, what a tragedy." But oh, what did he see? He was going through the gates of splendor. And what did he see? The glory of God and Jesus standing. The one who hung on the cross in ignominy and shame. Jesus standing in the glory of God. What a Savior. Do you preach Christ not only crucified, but Christ glorified? Someone has said, take one look at yourself and 10 at him, and your heart will almost jump out of your body when you see what a Savior is Jesus our Lord. Well, this is the one that David is speaking about here. And then he says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." My, how true that was of Stephen. It speaks of fellowship. Where did he have the best and the most precious fellowship? It was right in the presence of suffering. He had fellowship with heaven and with God, with the Lord, with Jehovah. And last night we were looking at the film Up on the Hill, Through the Gates of Splendor. And we saw how those fine five young men down in Ecuador faced death in their prime. Why was it? Why was it? Why, the Lord had led them through the valley of the shadow of death. He led them through. He didn't stop in the middle. He led them through. And if you were to talk to Ken Fleming and the other four at this very moment, I wonder what they would say. It was glory. Glory. And it's still glory. And they're enjoying the glory. And they're there. Through the valley of shadow of death. That last great enemy, as far as they are concerned, has been conquered. Oh, what a song. I'm so glad that I learned it when I was a child. Oftentimes it is even whispered in little babies' ears, when they are still on the lap of the mother. And I'm so glad that as a child I had to learn this in school. I have read it to men in prison already. And you know, this psalm will never die. It'll never die. I often think, don't you, of David. I love to think of David. And I love to think of him and his Bible. My, how he mused and meditated in his Bible. It says day and night, doesn't it? And then I love to think of his banner and his war. How he would raise up the banner of the Lord and go through triumphantly. No doubt it was a well-tattered banner. And I love to think of David's huge sword, the one in which he slew the lion, or rather the great giant. He was a lion as far as his ability to strike fear into the armies of Israel. But that great giant was slain with his own sword. And then you know how David had laid it up in the presence of the priest Abathar, that great sword. My, I'd love to see that, wouldn't you? In the banner, his Bible. And my, I would love to see that slingshot. Oh, that sling. And the five smooth stones. That little trip that I had over there to the Holy Land, when the bus got down to the Brook Jabbok, everybody piled out and I said, where are they all going? Oh, to get some smooth stones from the brook. Some of those that David used. Well, I don't know where those five stones got to, but they were five smooth stones. The ones that I gathered, they had a lot of corners on them. I suppose maybe somebody came in with a dump truck and put them in there for those who were looking for, you know, what do you call it? Come on, tell me. Souvenirs. But those five smooth stones, all of these things are covered with the debris of the ages and gone. But the psalm, as I read it this morning, was just as precious and lively to my soul as it was the first day I believe David had sung it on the plains there around Bethlehem. Don't you love it? And oh, to hear it being sung this morning. I wish I could sing. Truly, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Someone has said they're twin angels. Goodness and mercy. Following. You see, when the sheep would come in, and they were protected, and even while they were coming in, they were protected. David looked upon them as being protected, even from the back, by guardian angels, because he was responsible and he had to answer for them. And you and I can say, guardian angels, they are swift to do God's bidding, and truly goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the best is yet to come. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I was thinking around the holidays, when young people are away, school away from home. Their thought is of home and how they long to get back home for the holidays. And you know, it's just as true of you and I as pilgrims, as children of God. We're away from home. And the hymn writer, when he wrote, sometimes I grow homesick for heaven. To you, when I think of that place where there's joy forevermore, and all former things, all the dangers, all of the plunder and confusion and the trials of life will be over, and will be in the presence of the Lord forever. Home, sweet home. I remember so well when the television first came out, we had a dear old gentleman staying with us. He was hard of hearing, and he didn't understand. And he said, turn on Home Sweet Home. And I never forgot. He thought I could just turn it on at the moment. But, you know, Home Sweet Home, to one like that of extreme age, is a backward look. He's thinking way back. But you and I, as the children of God, are looking forward to home, sweet home. What is going to keep you from going to this home? I'll guarantee you that if the Lord is your shepherd, there is nothing that's going to keep you from going. neither height nor depth, death nor life, principalities of power, things present, things to come, is able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, it's 12 o'clock, and we're going home. I trust that you won't find a burnt offering when you get home. We will dismiss the class at this very moment. Obedience is better than sacrifice and hardened in the fat of rams. If we trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for the Holy Scriptures, and above all, of whom they speak, Thy beloved Son, our Good Shepherd, our Great Shepherd, and our Chief Shepherd that shall appear. Thou hast said to Peter, and Peter has passed it on to us, that if we feed the flock of God willingly, without any restraint, Thou wilt appear, Lord Jesus, as the chief shepherd and give the crown of life that fadeth not away. So help us to share what we have with one another, and may our fellowship be sweet together. And may Thy love be so manifested that those even around us will have to say, behold, how they do love one another. Thank Thee that Thou hast taught us to love one another. Dismiss us now with Thy blessing. And may Thy grace and Thy love, blessed Lord, be the portion of each one of us, for we ask it in the precious name of the one who gave it, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.